Welcome, and thank you for listening to the Miami Vineyard Podcast. We hope this message encourages you, breathes life into you, and helps you experience God's love. Enjoy the message.
All right, Miami Vineyard! Man, how y'all doing today? You guys good? You guys good? Come on, for anybody like, man, it's been a week. It was a tough week. It was a rough week. But you know what? I woke up. You know what? I'm here. You know what? I chose to drive. I chose to log on, man. If you give God some praise that you made it nonetheless, and you're here, man. You're here. Man, it is so good to be with y'all today. My name is Nick, and I have the pleasure of serving here at Miami Vineyard. And to those of you that are joining us online, by the way, say hello in the chat. Don't delay. Say hello in the chat. Let us know where you're joining in from as well if you haven't already. Y'all, we have been in the middle of a series. We are in the middle of a series called We Are Vineyard. We Are Vineyard. And we've been talking about our values as a vineyard, our values as a church, and our encouragement and our hope and our prayer these past few weeks and these next few weeks is that these would not just be like these are Miami Vineyard's values. Like, this is what they believe. This is what they do. But that these would be your values as well. That you would figure out, what does this look like? Like, in my life, in my family, like in my, like, what does this look like for me as well? Because when a collection of people come together and we got the same vision and we got the same values, y'all, like, transformation can really happen. Like, God's kingdom really can come and things can really start to shift and change in Miami. Anybody got faith that God's doing some stuff in our city, in our community, in our place? Yeah. And so these are our values. And so in week one, Pastor Kevin shared on our value of one more, that we are always looking for one more to be part of our family. Why? Because God is always looking for one more. Last week, Pastor Kevin shared about fun loving. And that's for some of us, maybe like fun and church are like oxymorons. Like they're like two separate things, like water and oil, like they just don't mix together. But that if God really did create us, and if he really did give us a capacity for joy and for happiness and to experience fun, like the pheromones and all the scientific stuff that I don't really know about. Like, if he gave you the capacity for all that, then surely shouldn't church be an expression of that? Shouldn't church also have space for that as well, where we can be joyous and have fun and have a great time together as we praise and follow Jesus, right? And so then this week, I had the privilege and the pleasure of sharing with y'all on our value of always growing. Always growing, y'all. We are always growing. And the foundation, before we jump into it, because I'm going to give y'all some just practical steps on like how we can begin to grow as people, as followers of Jesus, as a church community. But I want to let y'all know that the foundation for growth, and you can't miss this. You can't miss this. The foundation for growth is God's love for you. The foundation for growth is God's love for you. You got to know that. God loves you. Man, if you only knew how much God loves you. If you would just praise God for a second, for if you know that he loves you, that he's for you, that he's with you, that he's been good to you, that he loves you. And this is the key, man. You cannot earn it. You don't, like, he just loves you. Like, whether you've been following Jesus for 25 years or you don't even know where you stand with Jesus, he loves you. He loves you so much. And the best illustration that I could come up with this as I was getting ready for this week is the picture and the image of like holding a newborn baby as a parent. And any parents in the house, the ones that are not afraid to admit it, like, yeah, I'm a parent. Yeah, it's my parents. And if you're online, just type in the chat, if like, I'm a mother of two, I'm a father of three. If you're like a father and mother of five plus, man, God bless you, right? But my parents, raise them up again. My parents in the house, my parents. All right, so y'all know this, man. Y'all know this. Like, just that first moment that you get with your newborn. You're in the delivery room, wherever you're at. They did the delivery. They did the whole, like, swaddle thing. I don't know how that works, but and then you're holding your newborn for the first time, and just that moment. My parents, you remember that moment? You just hold your baby for the first time, and like, they are not like they're perfect. Like, they like are not contributing to you in any way, right? But like, that, just remember that moment. My wife and I, we're not parents just yet, but we talk about it all the time. We're so excited to become parents. Some of y'all ask us like, hey, when are you guys gonna be parents? Right now we're just practicing, but we'll become parents soon. Some of y'all get that a little bit later. Marriage is fun, man. Marriage is fun. But we talk about having kids, and we talk about wanting to have kids, and we talk about like, oh, what's their personality gonna be like? What are their names gonna be like? What's this gonna look like? What's this gonna be like? And we imagine this, and she always calls me out on it. I don't know. Like, I always refer to our firstborn as like a he. I don't know what that is. She's like, hey, like, that's kind of biased. Stop that. It could be a she too, right? So whatever. So like, but we just picture this. We imagine this, and I imagine this moment. And for my parents here, you already know it. You already know what that moment feels like, but you're just holding your baby for the first time. And they, like, are not, like, benefiting you. Like, they're not paying bills. They're not doing chores. Like, and this is before they start talking back to you, right? This is before they start getting sassy and with attitude, right? Make you regret this moment forever, right? Like it's here, and it's just so perfect. But you know, even in that moment, like, there is nothing that baby could do to make you love him or her less. You just love that baby so much. But you already, in your heads, without even thinking about it, you already are preparing. Like, you've got vision. You've got preparation. You've got stuff in place because you are ready for this baby to grow. And you're actually going to be intentional about helping your baby grow. Like, you're going to do the stuff, right? Like, you're going to make sure that your baby's fed. You're going to make sure your baby's got clothes. You're going to make sure your baby's got medicine. You're going to make sure your baby's got everything that they need so that they can grow. And that's the picture. If y'all could just translate that, that's the picture of God with us, that he just loves you, right? Like, in that moment, perfectly, completely, holistically, like you have done nothing to earn it yet, loves you. And his love for you is going to help you grow. His love for you, he's going to love you into growth. He's going to love you into growth. And that's the foundation, and that's the bedrock of where we're going to be today. So real quick, we're going to jump over to Ephesians 3. If you got a Bible, if you got a Bible app, if you got, like, whatever it is that you have to follow along. If not, it's all good. The scriptures are going to be up on the screen as well if you want to follow along that way. I also want to invite you to check out our message notes. I'm going to have some practical next steps for you on what are some things that we can begin to do to grow in our faith and to grow in our understanding and to grow as people, as followers of Jesus. So that's on our message notes. You can locate that on our Miami Vineyard app. If you don't got the app yet, perfect time right now to get the app. If you're in person, you can just scan this QR code that's in your seat back, and it'll take you right there to download the app. You can also just go to your app store, type in Miami Vineyard, go right there. And then for anybody that's got the app already, just hit this weekend, hit message notes, and everything's going to be there that I'm going to be talking about. But I want to encourage you to just lean in and to press in a little bit. Maybe y'all slept in a little bit because it's a 12:15. You got to sleep in a little bit. Like, I'm going to encourage you, like, lean into it and press into it and start to figure out, like, what are some ways that we can begin to grow. All right, y'all with me? Y'all with me? Oh, come on, y'all with me or not? Like, we got this. Okay, cool. We're good. Just want to make sure I'm not the only one. All right, so Ephesians 3, and to give y'all some background, we're going to start in verse 16, but this is the Apostle Paul, and he's writing to the church that's in the city of Ephesus, which is modern-day Turkey, a little bit south of Istanbul for any of my geography people. So it's this in the city in Ephesus. It's this really bustling, busy city, and it's like this real melting pot of cultures and different types of people, different worldviews, different ethnicities, like all different types of people are living in this big city, and there's all different types of worldviews and perspectives on how life works. That kind of sounds familiar, right? Doesn't it? I think Ephesus is kind of like Miami, right? It's kind of like Miami. So, but this is the context, and Paul spends 3 years in this city, like, just letting people know about Jesus. He's building relationships with people. He's talking with people. And he's helping people to understand who Jesus is, and he's helping them grow in their relationship with Jesus. And then eventually he has to move on, and some stuff happens in life. And so then about 10 years later, he's now in prison in a city called Rome for what he's been doing for the gospel and for Jesus. And he writes back to Ephesus, and because he's thinking about Ephesus, he's thinking about those people there in the church of Ephesus, and he's wondering, like, I wonder how they're doing. It's been a while. I haven't spent much time with them in about 10 years, but I wonder if they're, like, are they doing okay? Like, are they still doing the stuff? Are they still following Jesus? Are they still trusting God? Because I've been hearing reports, and I've been hearing that it's been hard for them. I've been hearing that it's been challenging. I've been hearing that they've been going through some things, and it's been really difficult, and some life and world events have been happening to get them out of their habits. Y'all, that's kind of relatable, right? We just went through a pandemic that broke us out of some of our habits and some of our rhythms and some of our routines, and it got us out of the mix. And Paul's writing to them like, man, I really hope y'all are still doing this stuff. I really hope y'all are still following Jesus. I really hope that y'all are still where you're at, unashamed, loving God and loving people in the city of Ephesus. And so he writes to them. And the first 3 chapters, this is in your daily Bible readings if you want to follow along. It's just kind of walking you through. Paul's just reminding them, this is who Jesus is. This is what he's done. This is who God has been to you. He's brought you into a family. He's forgiven you. He's healed you. He's redeemed you. He's rescued you. And he's invited you into a new relationship with him. Y'all remember that, right? And then it pivots right here. He starts to pray for them in the letter. Check that right there in verse 16 of chapter 3. We're going to start it there. This is Paul saying, like, guys, I am praying for you. I've been praying for you. What am I praying? I'm praying that out of God's glorious abundance, out of his riches and all that he has, that he would strengthen you with the power through his spirit inside of you, that God's spirit inside of you, and you, when you trust in Jesus, that it is empowering you to understand all that who he is, that Jesus would dwell in your hearts through faith, that Jesus himself would dwell in you through the spirit. And I'm praying that you'd be rooted and that you'd be established in his love. That's what we just talked about, right? If we're going to try to grow, that we got to stay rooted, we got to stay established, we got to stay anchored in his love, because any other attempt to growth without a good foundation, y'all know how agriculture works, that if anything's going to grow, it's got to have a good foundation, it's got to have good soil, it's got to have a good seed. That he's like, I'm praying that the root and the foundation of your growth is still established in what? In his love for you. Don't forget that. His love for you. His love for you, that you're rooted and established in love, and that you would have power together with all of God's people and all the different places that they are, that you could grasp, that if you could just get a glimpse of how wide and how long and how high and how deep is Jesus's love for you, is the love of Christ, and that you could know this love personally in a way that surpasses your ability to cognitively process it. Like, that you could know it. Like, you ever experience that kind of love that, like, you can't even logically process it, but you just know it? Like, that kind of, like, that you would have that kind of love, that you would know that kind of love, and that you'd be filled to the measure, like, overflowing with the fullness of all that God is. Whew! That's a good prayer, right? Right? That's a good prayer. Like, if any of y'all can be praying for me, just read those verses and be praying for me. Like, that's a good prayer. If I can go to the wall and they can just read those verses for me at the end, like, I'd be content. That's a lofty prayer, right? That's a lofty prayer. But he reminds us right next. He's going to say, now, you may think out of reading that you get, oh, dang, like, I don't know if I'm really there yet. I don't know if I'm rooted and established in love. I don't know if I'm being filled with the measure of Christ. That's okay, because he's about to say in verse 20, now to him, God, who is able. Not your ability, God's ability. Some of y'all are like, oh, that's on the back of my hoodie. This is the verse. To him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, more than you could ever ask, more than you could imagine. It's his ability. Y'all need to know that. It's not your ability. It's his ability. Praise God that it's his ability, because he's the consistent one. He's the faithful one. When I'm faithless, he's still faithful. To him who is able. He's able. God is able. To do exceedingly, abundantly, everything that I just asked for, he can do more than that. He's able to do exceedingly, abundantly more than all that we can ask or imagine, according to his resources, his riches, not mine, his, in Christ Jesus. To him be the glory forever and ever. And all God's people said, amen. There we go. Y'all got it. All right. And then he pivots real quick. It's a real quick pivot. And if you don't notice it, you may think that he didn't switch it. But it's a real quick pivot, because we go to the end of chapter 3. We go into the beginning of chapter 4. He's like, all right, y'all got all that? Prayer, all that? Now. Therefore, he says, as a prisoner for Jesus, because he's in prison right now for Jesus. He says, as a prisoner for the Lord, he's like, I'm going to urge you. I'm going to beg you. I plead with you. Like, please, por favor. Please live a life worthy of the calling that you've received. Live a life worthy of the calling you received. And this assumes a few things, right? Paul is assuming that you actually have been called by God. And you have. Some of y'all just need to hear that. You've been called by God. You may not think that you've been called by God. You're like, well, I'm not a pastor. You don't need to be pastor to be called by God. Like, you don't need to be preaching it on a stage to be called. Like, you are called by God. He has called you. Yeah, he's called you. He's called you. And it assumes that he loves you. He calls those he loves. He loves you. He's called you. And so the encouragement, and by the way, you're designed for this, to live out the calling that God has given you. You were made for this. You were birthed for this. You were brought into this existence for this reason. And so the encouragement is, partner with what God is already doing in your life. He's going to help you grow, but there are just some practical things that we can do to put ourselves in position for growth, right? Like, our babies are going to, grow. Like, just do the stuff, and they'll grow. Like, and you can't even see it in the moment. You don't know how it works. Like, but you're just feeding them, you're clothing them, making sure that they get their sleep, like, making sure that they're learning, making sure that they're doing, and you just notice, all of a sudden, for some reason, you don't see them growing before you, like, in that minute, like, do-do-do-do-do, like Mario, but you get to see the evidence of it a little bit. You see it a little, you see, like, oh, we need to get you some new shoes, because your toes got too big for these shoes, right? Like, oh, like, I need to put safety locks on the cupboards, because you've gotten too tall now. Like, you see the evidence of the growth. You may not be able to see it gradually, but you're doing the stuff. and you're creating space for growth. And this is what he's inviting us to live a life worthy of the calling you receive. And so I want to give y'all, that begs the question, right? Okay, Nick, that sounds really good. How do I grow then? Great, I got that for y'all. I got that. I got the secret sauce. Y'all ready for the secret sauce? Okay, cool. I got some ingredients that are in the secret sauce. The first ingredient, if you're taking notes and following along, the first ingredient to the secret sauce for always growing is committed community. Committed community. And this is really important. Being together in relationship with other people who are on the same journey as you spiritually. Now, this doesn't mean that you don't have friends that aren't followers of Jesus. We talked about that in one more, right? So you can't forget one more, right? But have some friends in your life that are going to help you follow Jesus. Have some, because y'all, like, I'm just being honest. Like, when I'm going through it, I need people in my life to pray for me. I need people in my life to encourage me. Man, I'm like, man, I don't feel like worshiping God. They're like, hey, man, like, remember, like trust God in this place. Trust God. Like, be together in this way. Be in community in this way. There is not one example in the New Testament of the Bible where people were just having a relationship with Jesus outside of community. It just didn't exist. I'm gonna just do my thing with Jesus, but I don't do people. That did not exist. That was not a thing. Like, community matters, and it's important. I can't tell you how many people I've talked to here at the Vineyard who talked to me. They're like, man, Nick, like, I love Sundays, and I love church, and it's amazing, it's awesome, but I tell you, man, I feel so alone in my faith. I feel so isolated. Like, I go to work and nobody's following Jesus, and it's evident, right? and I go home and nobody's following Jesus there, and they always ask me, like, why I'm trying to follow Jesus, and I just feel so alone, Nick. Like, I don't know if I can keep going. I'm like, dude, I don't know if you can either. I think you need a few other people in your life to help you and to walk with you, and to encourage you, and to give you some life. Y'all, this is why small groups are so important here at Miami Vineyard. Like, it's not, we're not just doing another thing just to do another thing. We want to create space for you to have relationships with other people. And can I speak to any of my people who've been going to church for a while, and you may have grown up in church. Maybe you've gotten hurt by church. Maybe you've gotten hurt by other people that are followers of Jesus. It happens. Maybe you've gotten hurt by other people. I tried small group, but they started talking about me bad. They started doing this. And you know what? I don't mess with small groups no more. It'd be like I'm hanging out with somebody. I'm like, hey, like let's go to lunch together. Let's go have lunch together. Like, no, I don't do food no more. I haven't eaten in a few weeks. I don't do food no more. That's not me. No more food. So I'm like, should I ask the question? Like, you want me to ask the question, right? Like, why? Why don't you do food anymore? Well, you know what? A few weeks ago, like, I went to this restaurant. I got food poisoning. Got really sick, and it was just really ugly and bad. And so I don't mess with food anymore. No more food. I got hurt. I'm gonna be like, okay. You don't look too good, man. Like, you look kind of weak. Like, you look like you've been struggling. Like, you look like you're starving. Like, y'all, we need food. Like, we need water. We need other people. We just do. We need other people in our life that are going to encourage us, that are going to speak life into us, that are going to help us on this journey to follow Jesus. Because if you're isolated, it's really hard. But if you're connected, you can continue. If you're connected, you can continue in this really beautiful way. My high school coach used to tell us all the time, if you want to go fast, you go alone. Because it's a little bit slow in the process with other people. He said, but if you want to go far, go with people. If you want to go far, go with other people at the same time. And this is the beauty, committed community. And if you want to join a small group, y'all, you can go to the app right now and you can scroll through, find the day of the week that works for you. Like, whatever it looks like for you. If you're like, no, I don't do small groups, but I got a few other, okay, then good. If you got other people in your life that are helping you follow Jesus, great. We have small groups for that. Like, that's why we do it. But committed community matters. Second ingredient of the secret sauce is sacrificial service. Sacrificial service. Like, it costs us a little bit, you know? It's good for us. Because I realize in my own life sometimes, because this happens to us, right? Like we start to get wrapped up in our own lives, and we start to get wrapped up in our own schedules and our own timelines and our own checklists and all the different stuff that we got to do. And it's a real good indicator for me in this way. When somebody like asks me for help and I'm like, oh, like, what's wrong with you? Like, why'd you ask me for help? Don't you know that I got this thing and I'm doing this and I'm going here and I did all these things today and I woke up super early and I'm super tired and I'm done. That's just me. That's none of y'all, right? That's none of y'all, right? But it's a reminder for me. Hey, pay attention to that. Your schedule is not all about you. And your life's not all, and it's a good indicator for me to remember, yes, like, because when you serve, you just get out of yourself. There's just something that happens when you realize that you're part of something so much bigger, and you start to serve somebody else. Y'all, it just helps so much, and it's healthy, and it's good for you to realize that I am not the center of my own universe and my own space and my own time. My time is not my own. My life is not my own. That I've been bought with a price, and I give, and I serve. And y'all, by the way, can I say this looks a little bit like Jesus? Because Jesus says, I abandoned heaven, all my rights and privileges and honor to come into earth, not to be served, who was worthy of serving, but to serve and to give his life away. Serving looks like Jesus. It reflects the heart of Jesus because he loves people. And you see it all through the Gospels. Jesus gets interrupted all the time. And I'm like, Jesus, don't you get annoyed by these people? Like Jesus doesn't say, like, did you know how many people I've already healed? You come to me asking for healing? You know how many people, like, come on. Even when Jesus is grieving his cousin's death, all these people start to flock to him, and he could have totally been like, nah, like, I don't mess with y'all. I'm grieving. I'm doing my own thing. But there's just something that, like, Jesus just has just a love and a heart for people. Where he's just like, man, like, okay, like, I'm going to serve. And so my encouragement to you is to sacrificially serve. To sacrificially serve, and not just within this church, but to, like, serve your family, like, serve your spouse, serve your neighbors, serve your siblings, serve your children, like, serve your parents, like, serve other people in your life. And if this is your home church, I want to encourage you to serve your people here, to serve people here too, to serve others here too. There's a couple of different ways that you can actually do that. If you already kind of know what you're interested in and what you're gifted in into serving other people, there's lots of different ways. You can just hit the join our team on our app, and you could join a team and figure out what it looks like to begin to serve other people. If you don't know anything about anything, like, but Growth Track is a great space for you to realize what you've been gifted with, what you've been designed with, what you've been purposed with, and to begin to figure out how to learn and how to serve other people in a practical and in a real way. We got one in 2 weeks coming up, and I want to encourage you, if you don't know yet what that looks like, I want to encourage you to go to Growth Track and find out a little bit about how God has gifted you, how he's created you, how he's formed you, and what that can look like as you serve. But I want to encourage you, not, like, in these four walls, if this is your home church, but outside of these four walls as well, serve sacrificially. It is a huge ingredient for growth, because I get out of myself. I get out of my own time and in my own rhythms, and I start to realize that I'm not the center of my own universe, and it allows me to just love people better, which leads me to grow. Sacrificial service. The third ingredient to the secret sauce is intentional intimacy. Intentional intimacy. Any of my people been married longer than a few years know that it takes a little bit of intentionality to keep the intimacy alive. It takes a little bit, because when y'all were dating, it was real easy because you put on your best face all the time, and you was always trying to impress them, and you were always trying to, like, oh, what can I do for you? Like, and you were so creative, and you were so elaborate with your plans, and you were doing all this different stuff. But then you get married for a few years, and you get familiar with each other, and you got to have some intentionality. Come on, I'm giving y'all some marriage advice real quick. Yeah, there's some intentionality in there that you need to keep the intimacy alive. There's some intentionality needed. And the same goes with our relationship with God. That, like, there's some spaces where we just need to create space for God. And maybe you've been following Jesus for a few months, and it just happens all the time for you, and you always feel, like, in love with Jesus, and it's amazing. Man, good for you. That's an amazing stage. But for some of you that maybe are out of that stage, you don't feel that way, it takes some time and some intentionality to spend with God. It takes some intentionality. And so I've given y'all some, like, three practical ways that you can begin to be intentional about intimacy or your relationship, your growing relationship with Jesus. And they're all three, all of them are in emojis, because I'm Gen X millennial, so sometimes we talk in emojis like that. The first one is the praise hands. Y'all know the praise hands? This is spending time with God in prayer, in praise and in worship. Sorry, in praise and in worship. Spending time with God in praise and worship. Like, actually singing to God. Like, worshiping God. Why? It's good for you. It's good because when you get to sing to God, it's just a good reminder of like, man, God, like, I love you. Man, you're good. You're faithful. You're kind. You're wonderful. And you love me and I love you. This is why love songs are so popular, y'all. It's just a shadow of the reality of our love for God. Like, that's why they're so profound, is because they actually speak of a greater reality of God's love for us and our love for God. And so when you sing to God, something just happens. And this is why we create space here at Miami Vineyard every single service for you to be able to sing to God and to worship God in your own way. Y'all, this ain't just a performance. They're not here to just impress you. They are here to give us all space where we can sing to God. And it's just at the right amount of volume so that you don't really hear yourself if you're not good at singing, right? And for my people who aren't good at singing, can I tell y'all, I am not good at singing. You will never see me here leading worship in front of y'all. But I sing to God all the time. Not because I think I'm better than anybody else, but because, man, there's just something that happens. Even when you feel crappy, like, just sing to God. There's just something that happens in your heart. There's something that happens inside of you where you can even sing in the pain. Y'all know the Psalms are actually just songs. And even when David was in pain, he sang. Even when David was hurting, he sang. There's just something when you praise and worship God. And so we have times of worship every single service. I want to invite y'all to sing along and to praise God in your own way. We have nights of worship every once in a while where we just take out a time in our evening where we're just going to praise God. We're going to worship God. And we're going to see what God wants to do. We don't do it for something. We just do it to tell him how good he is and how much we love him and how much he loves us. That's what it is. That's what it is. And you don't got to be good at it. You don't got to be good at it. He says, just make a joyful noise. So if yours sounds like noise, it's okay. Just make sure it's joyful, right? Just sing to God. Like, and you don't got to wait. Like, you're like, oh, that was really good. Like, I love singing to God on Sundays. I can't wait for next Sunday to sing to God. Man, sing to God on Monday. Like, some of y'all need to sing to God on Monday because it gets tough on Monday. And when you're on the turnpike and it's getting, like, it may help your traffic route. It may actually help your commute and it may help your perspective to actually get to sing to God in that way. And can I just remind y'all, worship is for sure an aspect, like singing to God is an aspect of it, but worship is more so, it's a disposition, it's a heart position, it's a posture, it's a place that I'm in. So I can worship God at work, I can worship God, I can serve God in a bunch of different other ways, but singing to God, there's just something about singing to God. Like I said, you don't gotta be good at it, but just do it. And you'll see, like, man, I'm actually growing in that way. The second emoji there is the book emoji. This is spending time with God in the Bible. In the Bible. When I started following Jesus when I was 16 and I was trying to figure out what it looks like to follow Jesus, could I tell you like how helpful it was that some people encouraged me to actually start to read this Bible? Because I knew a lot of stuff, like I heard some things growing up about Jesus, but can I tell y'all, there's a lot of fake stuff out there about Jesus. There's a lot of fake stuff out there about God. And I wanna know, if I've said yes to Jesus, man, I wanna know for myself who this Jesus is. I wanna hear about him. I wanna read about him. I wanna see what he actually looked like in the Gospels. And I wanna see how that actually makes sense to my life today. Y'all, you can't tell me a lie about Jesus because I wanna know him personally. I wanna know him like I know a friend. Like when people lie on your friend and you're like, don't talk about my friend that way. That's like Jesus. Like, don't talk about Jesus that way. That's not how I know Jesus. Jesus is good. Jesus is kind. Jesus is loving. He's forgiving. And don't you talk about Jesus that way. You got to know him. To know him and to spend time with him. And this is why we have daily Bible readings, y'all. Just this next week, I put all of the book of Ephesians, 6 chapters for this next week. So if you read through every single day, 1 chapter a day, you'd have read a whole book of the Bible. You could tell somebody that. I read a whole book of the Bible this week, right? But just read it. Read it, spend time with it. We have this thing called First and 10, where we encourage you to spend the first part of your day, the first 10 minutes of your day with God. And some of you are like, well, 10 minutes isn't enough. I'm like still trying to wake up in the first 5. Okay, then spend 15. Spend 20, like whatever you want, but start with 10 if that's where you're at. And you're like, man, I'm not a morning person. Man, me neither. So try at night. There was a season in my life where I was working 60 hours a week and I had to open at Starbucks at 3 a.m. and I had to stay up late working on schoolwork. So you know what? On my lunch break, I was spending time with God in the Bible, praying to him, talking to him. Like, get it how you can, but make sure you get it. Like, it takes some intentionality, but it's good. It's good. And it's everything to know who Jesus is and not just to know about him. This is why we teach out of the Bible every single week. But our hope and our prayer and our desire is that you would begin to open this thing up and that you would begin to see for yourself who he actually is. Don't just lean on what Pastor Kevin says. Don't just lean on what I say. Read it.
if you're not good at reading, just listen to it. They got audio stuff for that too. But however you can, get it how you can. Because spending time with God in the Bible is crucial. The third emoji there is the praying hands emoji. And this is what, y'all guessed it, spending time with God in prayer. Spending time with God in prayer. And can I just encourage some of you, like some of you have like these ideas of what prayer has to look like based on whatever experiences you've had. Can I just, like, can you talk to God as if like he's a friend? Like, I know he's righteous, I know he's pure, I know he's holy, but he also says that he abandoned all of that so that he could be close. Jesus himself says, you are no longer servants, but you are my friends. And so if I can actually be a friend of God, that I could talk to him, not like he's a king from the 1600s, but that he's like a friend that I actually know personally. And if you say, thy Lord, man, that's great, do your thing. But if that doesn't mean anything to you, talk to him like a friend. Man, God, I love you. You're good. Thank you for everything. Like, talk to him. And if you're like, man, I can't pray for an hour straight, okay, then pray a little bit at a time. Talk to him on the way to work. Again, that may help your commute, right? like talk to him on the way home. And can I tell, like, you may not realize it, but moment by moment, experience by experience, you are growing. Because let me tell you how it doesn't work. It doesn't work like when you're like praying for patience and you're asking God to grow in this area. It's not like patience just floats down from heaven and oh, plus 5 patience, I'm good now, right? Like, that's not how it works. But you realize a few weeks later when you're on the turnpike and somebody cuts you off and you used to flip them off, but you say, hey, God bless you, man. Hope you're doing a good day. I wonder if he's been hurting. I wonder if he's been going through something. Let me just pray for him right now. You realize, oh man, I'm actually growing. He's not my enemy. I can love him a little bit. Like, you don't realize it in the moment, but you're growing. You're growing. Like when your relatives come to see your kids, whoa, he's been growing. Oh, I didn't even notice. He's been growing and you're growing. But just do the stuff. This is what we've been doing as Christians for thousands of years. And can I just tell you, if you start to do it as just a religious obligation and just another ritual, it will grow stale and it will die. And you may still do it, but you will not feel the love. So can I just encourage you, stay connected to Jesus and his love for you. It is his love for you that gives you the power. We just talked about that. God is able. I'm not able. I can't do any of this stuff without God. He is it. God, it's your love for me that makes me want to talk to you. So I don't ever want to talk to you just because it's like, man, I feel like you're going to be mad at me if I don't. Man, like, can I talk to you through that issue? Can you help renew my mind through that issue? Like, God, can you help me through that? Spend time with God. Not because your aunt is on your Bible app saying, I ain't seeing you highlight in the past week, right? But because you want to spend time with him. Because you want to spend time with him. We have a story of somebody here at Miami Vineyard who's been doing some of this stuff, and they had a crazy, like a really bad experience just in their own life with what happened in their life, and she's going to share in a second. But just listen to what God had done in her life as a result, and what God was doing in her life, and some ways that she was growing in her relationship with Jesus as a process. So check out Adriana's story.
Hi, my name is Adriana, and this is my story. So I was always raised with the idea that God was real and Jesus was good, but it wasn't until February 27, 2019, where I really saw how good God was to me. That morning, I was driving back home from dropping my little sister off from school when I was a victim of a hit and run on the turnpike southbound. My car was completely total, and I came out of the crash without a single scratch on me. I just remember thanking God that I was alive. Right after that, I remember making a promise to him that I will get more involved in my faith and build a better, more personal connection with Jesus. I was always a member of Miami Vineyard, but after that accident is when I really became involved, and then COVID hit. So I still joined online until we finally came back on campus. I just felt God speaking to me that I needed to join a small group, so I did. I joined the young adult women's group. Shortly after, I got baptized. After that, I really noticed myself change. I started confiding in God more. I started speaking to him more throughout my day. I work from home and I worship most of the time, which I never thought I would do before getting baptized. And I've just seen God move in many different ways in my life, in very different aspects. So if you are thinking about getting baptized and you're all in with Jesus, you definitely should go ahead and do it. Even though that accident was something negative that happened in my life, it ultimately ended up leading to something positive and leading me to get baptized and growing in my faith. I'm Adriana, and getting baptized was one of the best decisions I ever made.
That's good. That's so good. I promise we didn't coordinate that, because she just gave you like six of the things that we just talked about. Like, I promise we didn't coordinate that, did we? No, we didn't. That's Adriana right there, actually. But it's so cool to just hear about, like, this is just the stuff. Like, this is how you grow. Like, spend time with God, be in community, serve people, and you will just realize how you're growing. And I want to invite you, if you haven't yet gotten baptized, baptism weekend is next weekend, and y'all, it's like one of the best weekends here at the Vineyard all year. It's an amazing time. It's a celebration. You got to invite like 10 friends to join you for baptism weekend. But can I encourage you, if you've never gotten baptized, if you said yes to a relationship with Jesus and you haven't been baptized, like, it is your next step. Like, all this stuff is going to be really good for you as a follower of Jesus, and it's going to help you grow. But, like, you don't have to do this stuff yet to get baptized. The only qualifier for getting baptized is saying yes to a relationship with Jesus. So nobody's going to quiz you and be like, have you memorized the Gospel of John yet? Like no one's going to be like, could you pray for me and I'm going to assess you based on your prayer, right? Like, that's none of that. If you said yes to a relationship with Jesus and you said yes to following him, baptism is your next step. And I want to encourage you to get baptized. It's one of the best decisions Adriana ever made. It's one of the best decisions I ever made. Like, it's an amazing, amazing moment. And it's what Jesus invites us to after saying yes to him. So you can sign up on the app. You can sign up at the table as well, or at the link online if you're joining us online. But I want to encourage you to get baptized if you haven't yet. And then I want to leave y'all with just one final question. Just for you, not for you, it's more rhetorical, but it's more for you to consider. Just personally, like as you're driving home, as you're thinking about this and as you're processing this, to begin to just ask yourself and to maybe ask God this question of just, what's your next step? What's your next step? Because this is a lot, right? And so if you're like, man, like, I'm not doing any of that stuff. Okay. Just start with one or two. And hold on to the notes, right? Just start with one or two and hold on to the notes. Find this YouTube link somewhere and watch it in a few months after you started those. Like, but if you, maybe you're right here right now, you're like, man, I've been serving and I've been in community, but I haven't really been spending that much time with God. Maybe that's your next step. Like, oh, I've been spending time with God and I've been serving, but I don't really feel like I've been in community. I've been out of the rhythm of small group. Man, can I encourage you to take that next step? Whatever it looks like for you in your own personal life, I want to invite you to take a next step with Jesus. It's always good. You'll never regret it, because what Jesus says is that if you just hold on to me, this is the overarching, if you just hold on to me, you will grow. Just stay connected. Just stay in it. That's what Paul's saying. Like, man, just stay there. Stay connected to Jesus, because he says if you are rooted in me and I in you, he says you will bear fruit. It's just gonna happen. You don't have to manufacture it. Your growth, you're going to grow. Just stay connected to Jesus, and you'll always grow. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you for what you're doing right here, right now in this space, and for anybody that's joining us online right now or in a few days, a few weeks. God, I thank you for your love. God, would you remind us that your love is the foundation. It is the bedrock. It is everything. It's the start and the end of anything that we do here, of any ability to grow. Jesus, it's because of you and your love. Jesus says, without me, you can do nothing. And it's your love, it's your goodness, it's your grace, Jesus, that empowers us to grow closer to you and to know you better. Like a baby infant that without their parent, without a caregiver, they cannot live. They cannot grow. God, give us that kind of like dependence upon you. Like, I am dependent upon you, Jesus. I trust you fully. God, give us next steps. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would just highlight
whatever it is in our lives that you're inviting us to grow into, and that you would give us the grace and the power and the ability to begin to walk into that and to partner with you, God. I thank you that you deposited inside of us an innate desire to know you and to grow closer to you. God, would you stoke those flames? Praying for some of you right now that maybe you just like, you've just been out of it. And you felt like, man, I was in love with God once, but I'm too far gone. You're not too far gone. Can I just tell you on behalf of God that you are not too far gone? That he is inviting you to just receive again the love that he has for you, that he never left you. He never abandoned you. He never walked away. And he's ready to receive you. He's not petty. He's not going to hold it against you. He's ready to receive you. And as we're praying and as our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, just to block out distractions, if you're in this space and you're like, man, this stuff is all really great, but I don't even think I have a relationship with Jesus. I don't even think I know Jesus. And maybe something's happening right now where, like, maybe for the first time that you actually want to have this kind of a relationship with Jesus. I just want to invite you to pray a prayer in your heart. I'm going to pray it out loud. You pray it deep down inside. It's not the last prayer that you're going to pray, but it's a great place to start. To just invite Jesus into relationship. To really just receive the relationship that he has been pursuing since before you were born. To say yes to the love that he's had for you before you were born. And as we're praying, if that's you, I just want to invite you to pray what I pray out loud. Say, Jesus, thank you for your love. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your kindness. Thank you for your forgiveness. God, I need all of it. Jesus, I don't have all the answers. I don't know what this is all going to look like. But I feel like you're doing something inside my heart right now. The strength that you've given me, I just receive your love. I say yes to a relationship with you. I say yes to intimacy with you. Help me to grow now as a follower of you. I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless y'all. Thank you so much.
Thanks for joining in today. If you enjoyed this podcast, we'd love for you to leave a review, subscribe to this channel, and share with a friend. We'd also love the chance to connect with you. You can text the word NEW to 786-705-8930. Again, that's NEW to 786-705-8930. And we'll give you some next steps with how to plug in and get connected here at Miami Vineyard. We hope you have an amazing week, and thanks again for listening.